is say we have been exceeding expectations because of fear of loss, say loss of job, that's why we're working very hard. Now, we all go through different situations in life. And we respond with the best of our intelligence in those situations. So when there is insecurity, there's a natural human tendency to want to create as much security as is possible. So we have to have a sense of perspective. That means that in our life, there are certain things which are more important, certain things which are less important. And within that also, sometimes some things may become more important temporarily. So if we have a overall sense of perspective, what is more important, what is less important, then we can accordingly adjust how we function. So for example, if we have a reasonable amount of financial security, if we have a reasonable level of a position in professionally, then at a particular point we decide that this is good enough, and now if I have this, if I have more time, then let me use it for devotional service. Generally we all have a significant amount of mode of passion. So we cannot wish away that passion. That we have to use it somehow or the other. So in many ways, we may complain that, in companies I have so much work to do. But, when there's no work to do, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
That's what happens to us. So, and we feel empty because of that. We can't just stay peaceful and contemplative. Because we have to work with the reality of where we are. If we had goodness, then we could have studied scripture and relished devotion or done something more contemplative. We have certain level of goodness, but we don't have a lot of goodness. Even I read and study and a lot of time, but I can't just study. I have to speak, I have to write. After studying the knowledge, I have to do something with it. Those are brahmanas, they may just sit for hours together. I've asked one senior devotee, when we write, how do we evaluate the success of writing for Krishna? So normally if you're doing preaching, you're doing classes, we see how many people are coming for a program, how many people are becoming devotees. But you cannot correlate between writing and somebody becoming a devotee. Because we write one book somewhere, write an article somewhere, they go to different places, we never even come to know what is the result. So now that devotee told me, Krishna is glorified, that is your success. Now I appreciate the transcendence of that answer. But that is not something practical for me. Now, I have passion within me, and that devotee is at a very advanced level. Because Krishna is glorified, that's enough. Yes, I want Krishna to be glorified, but I want to see some result in this world also. And that is also a part of our mission in this world. Srila Prabhupada was told by his spiritual master that if nobody comes for program, just preach to the walls. When the walls have ears, they will hear. And you will be purified. Krishna will be glorified. But then, Prabhupada could have kept preaching in India to the walls. Prabhupada came to America. Because Prabhupada also wanted external results in the service of the Lord. So generally speaking, when the mode of passion is there in us, at that time, we need something tangible to do. So sometimes our jobs create the tangible task for us. If that is not there, then we have to create some tasks for ourselves. Now how do we do that? It may be at the material level, sometimes just people take up some other job just because they feel that job is not so challenging. Or they may try to, Prabhupada writes that in some places people create self-created duties. Because in the mode of passion, you can't stay peaceful. So you have to, I have to do this, I have to do that. So, the mind is so cunning, or you say, so, cunning is not the right word. Mind is in some way so merciless that if we don't have enough to do, the mind makes you do something.
Exactly.
And then, come on, do this. The mind makes us do many things, and then it complains, why are you doing so many things? So, it's just either way, whatever happens, you tell the mind, and I want it to relax. What? Relax, do something in your life. Then you start doing so many things, you don't get any break. You ask the mind, what do you want? He says, I want to keep you miserable. So, the nature of the conditioned mind is that it will not be satisfied in any situation. Even if we went to paradise, that everything would be wonderful, the mind will say, yes, but... it will find some reason to be dissatisfied. So, at one level, we have to understand that if we just keep doing engagements according to the mind's impelling, in no state will we be satisfied. But at another level, we also have to understand that if the mind has a particular, if we have the mode of passion within us, we can't wish it away. I can't suddenly come to goodness. So the broad path that the Bhagavad Gita tells us is, it tells Arjuna that you are a Kshatriya, you cannot act like a renunciate. Arjuna is telling Krishna that maybe why should I fight against my relatives? I'll just go into the forest and live like a mendicant. So Arjuna, Krishna tells Arjuna, no, you can't do that. Svabhava jena kaunteya nibaddha svena karmana. Kartum nechasi and mohat karishasya vashopita. In 18.60 he says, we are all bound by our nature. He says, even if you say you will not, you don't want to fight, he says, you will not be able to restrain. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Acharya, in the commentary he says over there that, Krishna is telling Arjuna that now you are saying you will live like a mendicant in the forest. But mendicants ask, they need charity. So there's a difference, you know, the mendicants, they ask. The Kshatriyas, they take. Kshatriyas take taxes. They are meant to take on behalf of the government. So he says that if you ask for charity, and somebody says, no, I'll not give you charity, then immediately your sword will come out. How dare you say no to me? So he says, and that will be inappropriate for you. Because you are not in the vocation of Kshatriya. So it is your Kshatriya nature. Act according to that. But, just 2 verses later he says, well, how do you act according to it? He says, Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata tat param shantim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. So he says in 18.62 that you surrender to the Supreme Lord. And by surrendering to him, you will become peaceful, you will become purified, you will become ultimately liberated. So we don't work for our nature. We don't work against our nature. We work with our nature for Krishna, for serving Krishna. Means working for our nature means that, okay, the mind says, you know, okay, you know, do this, get this job, get this possession, get this, buy this, get bigger, bigger, bigger. This goes on and on and on. In the mode of passion, happiness is just one step away, you know, one increment away. One purchase away, one relationship away, just one step away. But that is the way it stays always. So if we work for our nature, then we'll just stay forever in passion and we'll never be satisfied. But we work against our nature, suddenly trying to come to goodness, it won't work also. So we work with our nature for Krishna. That means we try to find out some stimulating, challenging service for Krishna. So some significant responsibility. Bhakti is not just chanting Hare Krishna, going to the temple, attending classes. It's always important. But bhakti is also about doing adventurous things in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada was asked that, you know, if the whole world became devotees, then how will the world run? If everybody starts chanting Hare Krishna, how will the world run? So Prabhupada answered it differently at different times. But Prabhupada, in this particular point, he said that if you think that bhakti means only chanting Hare Krishna and not doing anything else, you have not understood what is bhakti. He said, look at Arjuna, look at Hanuman. Now, they were chanting and they were devotees, but they were doing extraordinary things also. And Prabhupada himself, he wanted people to chant Hare Krishna. See, anyway, people are doing a lot of things. But they are doing it for their nature. And that is keeping them entangled. So Prabhupada's primary emphasis was we have to get people to chant Hare Krishna. But that is not the only thing to be done. Prabhupada had his disciples do devotional service in adventurous ways. This met one senior Prabhupada disciple. She was at that time just an 18-year-old Mataji. And she, Prabhupada came back in 1968 from India. He had fallen sick and he had gone there, rested and came back. So when he came back to New York, at that time the devotees had a globe, had a map of the world over there. So Prabhupada talked with all his disciples. He says, all of you, you take one country. Go there and deliver that country. Most of them had never got out of America also. It was just empty. So then, so one of the Mataji, she asked, Prabhupada, what about us girls? We are not boys or girls. We are souls, servants of Krishna. You also take one country. So, you know, Prabhupada, how was he able to, these young disciples that he had, they had tremendous passion within them. So Prabhupada, by his compassion, engaged them so that their passion could be used in Krishna's service. So similarly, when we have to serve Krishna, there is the direct activity of the bhakti which you have to do, but we also have to see bhakti as inclusive. So we find out some service that we can take up for Krishna, which will be stimulating for us, which will be challenging for us. And then we use our passionate nature in Krishna's service that way. So what it could be, you may have to maybe talk with other devotees, look at the broader society, and then find out what can be done. But there are many different ways in which Krishna can be served, Krishna can be glorified. So we have to use our creativity. That's important. I was in one place and there was this devotee couple. They're telling their child is just a small child, maybe 7-8 years old, but he's brilliant at robotics. He can make robots and he has won a national level award and is going to for an international level competition. So it's brilliant. But they're telling that he's just to get into temple, chant, he's just not interested. All the time he's in robotics. So then I told him that I started talking with that boy and asked, what do you make for robots? He says, you know, last time we made a robot that could, if a truck comes on, whatever the crates in the truck, the robot will carry it. He made a small miniature model of that. So like that, we make different models. So I told him that, would you like to make something unique, which nobody else will make? He said, what? He says, you can make a robot of Krishna and Arjuna speaking the Bhagavad Gita. Then he started thinking about it. No matter what competition is there, we are sure nobody else will make something like this. Yours will be unique. And he said, yeah, that makes sense. He became thoughtful. And then he just went away and we were talking. And then after that, he came back. He told his mother, he says, no, what is taught in the Bhagavad Gita? Tell me. He became intrigued by that idea. So basically, we have a circle of interest and we have a certain conception of what Krishna Bhakti means. And sometimes we feel, okay, this is not that interesting. But actually Krishna Bhakti's circle is not just finite. There is a very clearly defined circle of what comprises Krishna Bhakti in the sense of direct devotional service. But in terms of indirect devotional service or the expanded domain of devotional service can practically be unlimited. So we can do many, many things in Krishna service. So if we can find a way to channel our passion, then we don't have to again, just to fulfill that passion, go into a excessive materialistic environment where we just have to work harder and harder. But we have that urge to do something, we can find a way to do that for Krishna. Okay?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.